Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is With All Due Respect, and your hosts are Rick and Jim. It is 4 p.m. on the East. It is 1 p.m. on the West Coast. And we have an exciting show for you folks today. So welcome aboard. Do we have my co-host, Jimmy Jam Ellis, on the line?
I am here. Somehow I made it. Thanks, Rick, for backing me up on the studio. Just in the tire place for 2.5 hours waiting for a change of tires. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to make the show? Because this show goes live, you know. It doesn't wait. Time doesn't wait for anyone. So made it work, and here I am. How's it going there, Rick?
It's going good, man. I'm glad everything worked out. And then I have my wife is not feeling well, so she is laying down for a minute. And where the computer is, it would have been like she definitely would have heard me. But here's the great thing: I have my this great little tablet, and I'm on my tablet, man. So I'm locked and loaded, and I have it saved. So if I need to jump back in at any point, I can always just use my tablet. And technology is so great. And then, like, even like the last minute, like, hey, you know, can you jump on? I didn't get the text until 20 minutes out. And I'm like, yeah, man, let me just do this. And it all worked out. So good stuff. It took me 10 minutes to get on, like, create, like, get on the show and do all this stuff. And it took some knucklehead 2 hours to change a tire. Can you imagine?
There you go. It's all about problem, no problem. And if you have to get it done. They were actually telling me, yeah, it'll be done around 1. I'm like, no, it can't. I have to drive home, set up the show. And I go, it can't happen. I go, how about 30 minutes? I go, okay. So anyway, just pulled in. No problem.
Nice.
It's all part about making it all work. So
absolutely.
Here we are. So, and I was at the Starbucks for that time, and I was making some notes for the show. I'm very excited. I made some great situations that we need to play the game with. But you wanted to, of course, talk about food, right? Because that's what guys do. They're talking about food.
Somewhere. Yeah. Well, you know what? I was just looking at some food. Like, you know, my Facebook news feed is now, you know, comprised of food, sports, anybody who's pro my politics, which I don't even need to get into. I'm friends with another knucklehead yesterday. Actually two, because I post a thing that I went to, and I'm already getting like just idiot stuff. So anyway, the big thing is the food now, which is great, because for some reason the food just got buried. But man, some of the shit that they make on you know, on these Tasty, I follow this one thing called Tasty, this other one called food something. It's like I follow a bunch of them, and they have, of course, these greatest videos that just as soon as you scroll by, it just starts showing you how to make it. You know, no bake peanut butter chocolate this. You know, no bake this. You know, poke cake. Ever hear of a poke cake?
No.
Okay, so a poke cake is, because I don't really like a sheet cake. Like, you know, if you have like a cake, it's like it always like the icing is good, and then the cake is always dry, right? It's like a nun's chooch. It's just like absolutely like you take a bite, you have to have a little glass of, like a little sip of milk. A poke cake is when you have a cake, say it's a chocolate poke cake. So you take a chocolate cake, you bake it, and then you take the end of a wooden spoon and you poke holes in it. Then after that, you drizzle some kind of like, you know, they make a sauce, but it's like a chocolate sauce. So that sauce now gets incorporated into the cake. Then you put icing over it. So can you imagine? It's like every bite is like absolutely moist, absolutely perfect. And you can do it with a chocolate cake. You can do it with a red velvet cake. You can do it with, you know, regular vanilla cake. And, you know, it's very interesting. So just a couple food questions before we get into our, what did you call it? Snag versus hero or gentleman?
I said hero. We could call it whatever we want. We're living in the moment. So, yeah, whatever you want to But yeah, it's a game. Actually, you came up with the idea. It's like snag or gentleman. You know, make the choice. Pick a situation, and then say, was that, is that a? And we have to define all these terms for our audience too, because they might not even know what the hell we're talking about. But just as far as the food thing, it's interesting you bring up food, because we had one show where we had a certain topic, but it kept coming back to talking about desserts. And it just reminded me of what happens sometimes when guys get together. I've seen it on a Friends episode too, where there's a certain topic in the air, and the next thing it's either we're talking about, it's like food or sandwiches, or sometimes it's like, you know, sex. You know, it just kind of goes to certain areas where men are like what they're really interested in. And it's funny with my wife; she'll say, I have this one look when she brings out like dinner. When she brings dinner on the table, I get this certain smile. Such joy! I get food or chocolate.
Oh, man, that's
so funny. Happy.
We're so evolved as humans, but we're so not on certain situations.
So not, the basics, sex, food.
Like my mother. She'll be telling, because my mom, she's just a crazy cook. She can cook. I always try to tell her to start a restaurant business, and now it would be too much for her, but. Wouldn't even be a rest. It would be like a lunch place, because it's like all like really just good comfort food. I guess you could spruce it up and make it a regular, like a dinner place. But anyway, so she tells me what she's making for my dad, because my dad's like one of the, like this old school, like he sits in his room and mom makes stuff for him. And, you know, he has his go-tos, which he makes stuffed cabbage, which is glumkies, you know, for our Polish listeners. And she makes this macaroni and cheese, but it's not like macaroni and cheese. It looks like almost like a la vodka, because it's like sort of pinkish, but it's ridiculous. She puts a can of tomato soup in her macaroni and cheese, and it makes it just ridiculous. She makes this thing called dumpling soup, which is like it's literally just like wads of dough, flour, and egg. But the way she makes them, and here's what I'm getting to, my mouth is watering. So she'll start talking, and I'm like Pavlov's dog. My mouth will just start watering, and it's actually happening right now. So it's pretty funny stuff. You know? It's like I'm telling you and describing you what's going to happen, and it's happening.
Do you like cooking, or does your wife like cooking, or how does it work at home?
We fend for ourselves most of the time, or we go out. My wife is not a big cooker. She's just not a big cooker. When she does cook and when she makes stuff for me, it's phenomenal. I think she gets bogged. She wants it to be really perfect, so it just sort of gets overwhelming sometimes. For me, like I can cook. I love during the wintertime I'll make like chili, and you know I'll make certain things like certain dishes. So I can cook. I like things. My way of eating now is more fueling. On the weekends, I'll have stuff that I like, but it's usually I bought outside and brought in, you know. So what I was going to ask you is, what was your favorite food as a kid growing up that your mother or father made? So what did they make? It wasn't like, you know, pizza or you went out this place. It was like, what did mom make that reminds, you know?
My favorite meal that she wouldn't make, my mom would make. My dad didn't cook one time in his life so far. He's still got, you know, he's still alive, so there's still hope. I would say she made the Chef Boyardee spaghetti, and I thought it was, like, so incredible. But, I mean, it's funny because it's out of a box, right? I mean, it's simple.
Yeah.
It was Chef Boyardee, and it had three elements to it. You'd open up the box, and it had the noodles, like you had, you know, in a box. And then it had the sauce in a can, and then it had Parmesan cheese in a can. So it had those three elements. So you put them all together, and I'm like, this is the greatest meal ever. I just thought it was the greatest.
And you had she doctor it up at all, or did she just go follow it by the?
It was pretty much that. She wasn't a big cook, but we did do Thanksgiving, and that was always the big one. That was turkey and gravy and corn, you know, mashed potatoes. What was that green bean and mushroom soup? You ever have that, green beans?
Yeah,
soup.
Green bean casserole with the fried onion on top. Yeah.
Yeah, something breaded. That's what I remember. How about you?
So just so you know, you're just funny you said that. My favorite meal out of the year is always Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I love Thanksgiving dinner. My mom will sometimes make it twice a year. Like, we'll do it sometimes in the summertime because we love it so much. So, yeah, the turkey, my mother makes phenomenal, phenomenal stuffing. It's ridiculous. The consistency isn't like if you ate it and if you looked at it, you'd be like, ooh, geez, really? But it's because it doesn't look like the perfect stovetop stuffing with the little square things. And it's, you know, she takes like half a loaf of white bread and like lets it get stale. And then she pours like sausage, you know, eggs, seasonings, and she just mushes it up with her hands. And it looks like it really, like before she puts it in the oven, it doesn't really look good. I like it. I like it because I know what it tastes like. My mouth is watering. When she puts it in the oven, I like she puts it in broil for a little bit so the top gets really crusty. Oh, so Thanksgiving is my favorite meal. We do turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, green bean casserole, and these always we get these grand muffins, not the regular table muffins. They're called grand flaky ones, and they're like layered. They're like layered. So like when they come out of the oven, they're puffed up, and you can just open them up because they're all layered. Oh my God, it's just nuts. So we got off on my favorite meal, but my mother, I guess growing up, my favorite stuff that my mom used to make was her macaroni and cheese. And also too, she used to make scalloped potatoes. She used to call them scalpies, but the way she made them, she just, you know, she just made them over the top and, you know.
Sweet. Yeah. My mom would make something called meatloaf. And I remember I just could not stand meatloaf. Like, what is this? It was meat and crackers. She would, like, ground up crackers. I'm like, what else is there to eat today? I remember to this day, every time I hear that, I'm like, meatloaf. I don't know. Was there any meal that you had to steer away from?
Let me think. What meal would I steer away from? Well, anything that had vegetable. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't a big vegetable kid. I'm actually not a big vegetable adult either, but I do it. I'm trying to think, you know, probably a veg, you know, she would make like the stuff that I like. It's actually stuff I like now, like broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, like the stuff that I couldn't even put it in my mouth. Now, like I actually order it when I'm out and I love all that stuff. Like broccoli's pretty much my go-to green now. And, yeah, so it was probably the veggies. And then it's funny to hear this. I didn't like my mother. My father likes his meat cooked very well. So whenever she made like a steak or something like that, I really didn't enjoy that either too much because it was a little chewy. Like now I know as an adult the best way to have a steak. So what was let me ask you this. So as an adult now, and I think we might have had this in a previous conversation, but as an adult now, like, what is your favorite food? If you either had to get it, like go get it, or if you had to, like if you had to make it or made for you, what would it be?
Right. Well, since I can only make scrambled eggs and pasta, I would say we would go with something that my wife makes. And I always tell her this is number one. You know, when you make this is like the number one meal. She even gave it to me for a gift or a coupon for me to get one of these, or have her make one of these down the road, you know, for my birthday or Christmas. And it's her enchiladas, cheese enchiladas that I can't even explain it. I wish I could explain it so that everyone would have their mouth watering, but they're so good. Maybe I should like post about it, but she makes them and like they're layers and layers of different things, but they're enchiladas she makes, and it's always number one. It's always number one.
Wow.
But, I mean, there's other things. There's other things. We go to like Thai places. I love Thai. Mock duck. What's that? But anyway, yeah, I like. I like Thai food.
I haven't had it in a while, but definitely. definitely would love to go have some. There's a good place a couple towns over by me. I got to do that. Thank you for bringing that up. I'll make some time.
Cool.
So what do you think? So, should we jump into the game show? Or?
Yeah, I might stop my mouth from watering. I'm a dirty, filthy animal sometimes.
That's good.
Literally like a dog.
Yeah.
When you bring in food.
So we did, I did promote the show as, this kind of little game show, but I think we need to identify some terms or define some terms for our audience. Now, basically we're saying snag versus hero. Now, snag, we know it as a sensitive new age guy. And I think it's actually a term that's caught on. It's on, I think you could find it on YouTube, making fun of certain types of men. Now, how would you define a sensitive new age guy?
Sensitive new age guy. So just so you know, of course I'm Mr. Urban Dictionary, and I don't want to get into that whole conversation again, but they put it up as sensitive new age guy, similar to a metrosexual, but more timid and sensitive. A dense cluster of snags can be found at women's issue rallies. Extreme examples are known to have been, extreme examples have been known to experience regular menstrual cramps.
Menstrual.
And then
men.
Yeah, like menstrual. Okay. So, and then it's funny, they have an extreme example, Phil Donahue. I don't even know if our audience even know who that knucklehead is.
That's funny.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, thank God I got out of, I was married before like all this online Tinder bullshit was on, but it was like when I'd go out, I'd see guys that were like very, like they got along with women very well. Like I've personally never had like a lot of female friends. As a matter of fact, I look back, I don't have any female friends. Like it's either I was dating them, for lack of a better word, having sex, or I was just, I didn't really deal with them, but I used to see all these guys that were like, had all these women that were friends, but a lot of guys, these guys always seem to get caught in that friend zone. And, and that was sort of like my experience. And, I sort of was pissed off because they sort of were like having a good time and everybody was like laughing and it was like, it wasn't like awkward. Like for me, it was always very awkward to be friendly or friends with a woman. So, so that's what I see, and then nowadays it's like, so like you can just point a guy out, like a dude who's got like that lumberjack haircut, the long beard, the skinny jeans. It's like, holy shit, dude. Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Like really, like you're going out, you're looking at it. And then it's like, you've got knuckleheads that are just like, there was always like these looks, and I thank God never subscribed to them. Like the, when they had like the, when everybody had their hair pushed forward and had a little spiky, Bob's big boy haircut. And then they had, the lumberjack, and I don't know. It just seems like they all look the same. Like, why would you want to look like every other guy? Or why would you want to look like, now it's, I guess it's, they call them hipsters. Why would you want everybody want to look like that or look the same? I think there's more individuality, but I still think there's a lot of stuff. But anyway, so you have some questions, right?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to mention for me a snag, which I pretty much, I guess, was, even though I wasn't comfortable in that totally, but because I was so much into the healing field, dealing with going within, doing deep inner work, it kind of takes you to a place of very emotionally based. And I see, snags, sensitive new age guys, these guys that are based on emotions. They're not really centered. They're not grounded. They're like kind of floaty, in the sky, passive. And whereas like a hero or a gentleman could be centered, clear, proactive, responsible, things like that. And I want to list off the 12 snags I mentioned in my book called The Honor Book, because I talk about feminized role models. So here's what I got as far as like some, you mentioned one, Phil Donahue, but I got Paul Reiser of Mad About You. This is kind of
TV.
Richard Simmons, Pauly Shore. Ross from Friends, Chandler from Friends. Now, Ray Romano from Something About Raymond. That guy was so, like,
yeah.
And then I have B. Arthur. That's a joke. Kenny Loggins. Here we hear some of his songs. The Smurfs, notably that one blue one. Alan Alda. That's a big one. And then the last one is The Bitch You See in the Mirror. And this is a book for men. So if you're looking in the mirror and you see a bitch, okay, then you know you're kind of soft around the edges. Now, so I have some situations. I'm going to read them to you, and then you let me know. Is that a snag? Is that a hero? All right. Opening doors for a woman on a date.
That is a, in my book, that is a hero.
Okay. Survey says, correct. Actually, there's no right or wrong answers. This is all just for conversation. it's not like we ran this through the computer or anything. All right, now here's one, and I'm just going to read the first part, and then I'm going to add on later. But we'll see if you get the first part. You carry your purse for your wife.
I you know what? I'm going to say hero. It all depends on the situation.
There you go.
Here's
the two situations. The first one is at Victoria's Secret store while she shops. The second one is after she faints and you're carrying both her and her purse. So I think you're right. Again, good answer. You got it right on. Depends on the situation. All right.
Yeah.
Here's what the next one. You cry at the movies with her.
Ooh. Well, I gotta go with the situational, because it's like, you know, I think it's a human condition to see something that brings up emotion, and that's what Hollywood wants to do, because that's, you know, that's part of what they're doing. So
okay.
I'm gonna say. Oh man. I'm going to say snag.
All right, that's interesting, because I ran these by my wife, and she thought, yeah, that's a snag. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. We're not going to watch E.T. anytime soon, honey. No, anyway.
No, we're not going to watch Schindler's List or Sophie's Choice anytime soon.
Yes, that's right, or Terms of Endearment. So anyway, okay, so that's that one. So yeah, that's a good answer. All right. You go to the Whole Life Expo, and you make her pay for parking. You go to the Whole Life Expo, and you make her pay for parking.
Wife or
girlfriend?
You
know what that is?
It's probably I could already tell that if I'm at the home. What is it called?
It's called the Whole Life Expo.
I know it. Don't even explain it. Snag. Just snag.
Right, okay.
Straight up.
Good. Very good. All right. You suggest a meditation class or a drum circle as a fun Saturday outing.
Saturday night or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Can we add another category?
Sure.
Can that be a new age man?
I think it's similar, right? Just a new age man. Maybe he's not sensitive. I think drum circle gives it away. Come on, drum circle. Let's go to a drum circle.
Hero.
I see. You know what's so interesting? Drum circle has two different connotations for me now that I just brought it up. Because the drumming for the men is very, you know, masculine. But the drum circles that I know in Southern California, no, it's a bunch of hippies that are like all flowery and all right, barefoot. All right, so that's another depends. Here's the next one. You demand that you both wear matching tie-dye shirts in public.
That's definitely a snag, man.
Very good, very good. Some of these are over the top. All right, here's a tricky one. I'll go easier again, or harder. You make candlelight dinner for her.
That's a hero.
All right, here's another one. You slay an actual fire-breathing dragon that is keeping her prisoner in a tower. You actually slay an actual fire-breathing dragon that is keeping her prisoner in a tower.
Oh, I wouldn't even say hero. You are a kick-ass fucking Viking. You're like the baddest ass in the Game of Thrones. And you're the guy who's kicking ass. Whatever the best character of Game of Thrones is, whoever the most masculine dude is, that's what that is.
You know, it's interesting. I wrote that, you know, kind of popped in my mind. There's a movie called Brazil. It's about, like, the government taking over. And it's from 1985. De Niro was in it. But there's a scene in there. And the reason I bring it up is there's a scene where there's actually a woman in this cage. And this man, this is a dream sequence, you know, his dream he's having because he's in love with this woman. And he's like this, he's got wings in this dream, this man, he has wings, he's got armor on, and he's fighting this big dragon to try to free this woman. And it was like, this is like so like archetypical, you know, vision of what a hero would be, you know, slaying something to in the honor of a woman. So yeah, that's kind of over the top, and you got that one right, if there's such a thing as right. All right.
Yep.
The next, two more. I got two more. I'm going to leave the last one, the one I want to leave the last one for last because it so opens up so many doors in my mind. All right.
Yep.
You inform her, you as a man, inform your woman when she is having a bad aura day. When she's having a bad aura day.
I would say if you say that, you're a knucklehead. You never say that to your woman, you know.
Yeah, or even a bad hair day. That'd be stupid. All right, so one more. When she is upset, you ask her, "How did you manifest that in your life?" You ever hear that question? How did you manifest that?
So you're saying that the man in the relationship manifested his woman or lady or girlfriend, wife. Go ahead, let me give that.
Okay,
what
happens is, so the man is with his wife or girlfriend, and he asks her when she's upset. Let's say the woman is upset. He goes to her and asks directly, "How did you, honey, manifest that in your life? Like, what did you do to manifest that? Like, how did you create that? How did you make that happen?" You know.
Yeah, that's that would be a snaggy question.
Yeah, it'd be stupid question. That question comes up. Have you ever heard that? I mean, in the men's circles, we say something like, you know, I don't know. We have men own when they make mistakes, but this kind of idea, like if someone's upset about something and you're asking them, how did you manifest that? Like, fuck you.
Yeah. If my wife's not feeling well or something's up, I say, do you need anything? Or what's good is in our relationship, we actually say, hey, listen, I'm not really feeling well. Don't own any of it. I'm just going to deal with it. You know, all good. Boom. And then we just, you know, we regroup later. That's a different level of, you know, communication. We have 60 seconds left, Jimmy. What else do we have? Anything burning? Anything not burning? Are you there? Well, it's not bad timing because it is the end of the show, but I think we lost our co-host, Jimmy. So what I will do is I will just complete the show and say that I hope you guys got some enjoyment out of it. Yeah, it looks like Jimmy dropped off. Yep. So what we'll do is we'll end the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining. And have a great weekend. Take care, everybody. With all due respect, look us up on Facebook. Take care.